Chapter 9. Stress. I'm referring not only to the great tragedies of life, but also to the minor stresses. The socialising, the telephone call, the anxieties of the housewife with noisy young children, and so on. Let us use the telephone conversation as an example. For most people, the telephone is slightly stressful, particularly for the businessman. Most calls aren't from satisfied customers or your boss congratulating you. There's usually some sort of aggro, something going wrong or somebody making demands. At that time, the smoker, if he isn't already doing so, will light up a cigarette. He doesn't know why he does this, but he does know that for some reason it appears to help. What has actually happened is this. Without being conscious of it, he has already been suffering aggravation. In other words, the withdrawal pangs. By partially relieving that aggravation at the same time as normal stress, the total stress is reduced and the smoker gets a boost. At this point, the boost is not in fact an illusion. The smoker will feel better than before he lit the cigarette. However, even when smoking that cigarette, the smoker is more tense than if he were a non-smoker, because the more you go into the drug, the more it knocks you down, and the less it restores you when you smoke. I promise no shock treatment. In the example I'm about to give, I'm not trying to shock you. I am merely emphasizing that cigarettes destroy your nerves rather than relax them. Try to imagine getting to the stage where a doctor tells you that unless you stop smoking, he's going to have to remove your legs. Just for a moment, pause and try to visualize life without your legs. Try to imagine the frame of mind of a man who, issued with that warning, actually continues smoking and then has his legs removed. I used to hear stories like that and dismiss them as cranky. In fact, I used to wish a doctor would tell me that. Then I would have stopped. Yet I was already fully expecting any day to have a brain hemorrhage and lose not only my legs, but my life. I didn't think of myself as a crank, just a heavy smoker. Such stories are not cranky. That is what this awful drug does to you. As you go through life, it systematically takes away your nerve and courage. The more it takes your courage away, the more you are deluded into believing the cigarette is doing the opposite. We have all heard of the panic that overtakes smokers when they are out late at night and in fear of running out of cigarettes. Non-smokers do not suffer from it. The cigarette causes that feeling. At the same time as you go through life, the cigarette not only destroys your nerves, but is a powerful poison, progressively destroying your physical health. By the time the smoker reaches the stage at which it is killing him, he believes the cigarette is his courage and cannot face life without it. Get it clear in your head that the cigarette is not relieving your nerves. It is slowly but steadily destroying them. One of the great gains of breaking the habit is the return of your confidence and self-assurance.